You remind me of the gays. What gays? The gays with the power. What power?
Power of the voodoo.
The power voodoo? Of cruising.
I saw my gaby. Gay and hard as gay could gay.
What could he gay?
How could I gay?
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Episode 13. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dolphin.
Dolphin who?
With Morgan and Ben.
We're back, Ben.
We're back again, and I'm back from space.
Another exciting week for the Discourse Weekly Show.
Super exciting.
I'm Morgan Nickel. That's television's Benedict Gracewood.
Not so television. I don't know why you keep saying that.
That's internet's Benedict Gracewood. And you're listening to us once again, recorded live in Discourse Studio 1, deep in the heart of tropical Auckland. Maybe I'm going to call myself television's Morgan Nickel.
You're perfectly entitled to.
And we've got two of our regular correspondents on, Mark Derrickett.
Greetings.
And Ryan Sproul.
Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
We're dropping the titles. Senior ex-correspondent, no?
I guess that's a good point.
No, it's fine to drop the titles. I don't mind. You go for it. Knock yourself out.
I mean, it was always just a joke, really.
We're beyond titles.
You never had a title.
That's because I'm beyond titles.
Senior metal correspondent.
Jig-a-jig. Satan!
Now, of course, it's actually more the religious side, so it's more Jesus!
Yeah, okay. All right, let's move on from that. I found the philosophy bit really fascinating, but it was also forced Ryan into a certain kind of a cubbyhole.
Exhausted all of the philosophy that ever has existed. So,
including micro-universes. Repeatable.
Yeah,
lives.
That's right, including stuff that wasn't even philosophy.
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
we
Ryan,
did start
if you're
asking,
such a philosopher, then how do you climb up walls?
Explain gravity, asshole.
Have you had a good week, Morgan?
This week actually has been really good, except I did start work again, which is, you know.
I haven't yet.
Didn't you turn up to work and nobody was there, and then like the guys in suits from ET came and took you out?
Pretty much.
Did they fumigate the house?
I think they fumigated. I turned up, and as Ryan says, there was no one there. No one there at all in our usually quiet, but buzzing isn't right, but maybe burbling, because they're all nerds. And then it turned out that everyone had gone next door because we had a flea infestation.
Ew.
And they didn't want to be in the building anymore. No one fucking told me. And then, so all day after that, I was suffering from, what's it called?
Psychosomatic.
No, yes. It's called something parasitosis. Something parasitosis.
Really?
Is that
when you're crawling bugs?
Yeah, when you imagine bugs on you. God damn it, I should probably look up what it actually was.
While Morgan's doing that, correspondence, can I ask you to stop breathing? Hold your breath for the duration of this podcast. Someone's got to breathe on.
It's not me.
As the breathing stops, yes.
So when Ryan passes out, what is it, Morgan? Come on.
It's delusionary parasitosis.
Uh-huh. There you go.
There you go.
I said psychosomatic, and you're like, no.
But it's not delusionary if there are actually...
But it's fleas. Delusion. It's delusional if there are no bugs on you, and you imagine that you can feel them. A delusionary parasitosis is actually a much more serious and ongoing thing. Where people actually... I looked it up on Wikipedia yesterday.
They scratch themselves
I'm not sure if they scratch themselves. They might scratch themselves. One thing that they do, though, that doctors look out for is they bring in samples. It's called like the matchbox sign because it's so often a matchbox.
Right.
And they bring in a matchbox just full of like dust and little bits of whatever that they found, little like clothing fibers that they found on the legs or wherever. And that happens so often that it's used as one of the
indicators
when they diagnose this little problem.
It's in DSM-4 or something, is it?
Yep.
Have they upgraded to 5 yet?
I don't know. Probably. People have said very strange things about what is in DSM-4. For example, I won't say who said this, said that homosexuality was in DSM-4.
Is it?
No. No, of course not. Of course not.
They're going to add video games and things. Video game addictions to DSM-5, I think they were saying, or something.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. There's a whole lot of new addictions that they could add. probably at least two of which I've suffered from.
Discourse addiction.
Discourse. It's a good thing we didn't call the show Intercourse. Welcome to the Intercourse Show. We engage in intercourse in your ears. Ladies. Someone and gentlemen, said, I guess, and we're not discriminatory.
Someone on my Facebook said, I listened to the last episode. Please, God, tell Morgan not to sing again.
Listen, if there's one thing that I can guarantee you about the Discourse Weekly Show, I'm going to sing.
The mics just make you sound so good, though. They do.
It's my voice that makes me sound good.
So since you're not going to ask me how my week was, I'm going to say
Ben.
It's fucking fantastic.
Ben, how was your week?
Oh,
I'm back at work as well. I don't know. I guess we're done with how people's weeks have been.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I got given a present from a client, which I'm enjoying right now.
What's that?
It's a bottle of Johnny Walker.
Oh, I was sure you were going to say Fleshlight.
That's the other client.
Chocolate penis?
No? Keep it. Chocolate penis. How would he enjoy that?
Don't know.
Just lick it.
Yeah, until it
feel
melts.
It melt. Yeah. Yeah, it's the opposite of how you want a penis to behave, though, because as soon as you put it in your hand, it gets soft.
Slowly, though.
So, Ben, speaking of big, soft chocolate penises, how's your week been?
It's been fantastic because, and I'll tell you why, it's because I built a fence.
You built a fence?
And I say to anyone, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling...
Woodshop, Benedict Gracewood.
Lonely, like we went over last week, you know, loneliness. If you're high on the loneliness quotient, then just go outside and do some fucking manual labor.
Yeah,
for a while.
Yeah, because once you get enough sun on your brain, you don't really care about anything else anymore.
It's good for the soul, building stuff, and
just grab a hammer and smash it into something.
Yeah, can we bring back the philosopher for a moment? Hey, philosopher,
mm-hmm.
Soul, what's that?
Soul, what's that? That's really where you're going with. I thought you were going to talk about manual labor and stuff.
Oh, okay. How should I...
Well, interesting you ask.
That's not philosophy.
I just spent the last 2.5 weeks looking after animals on a farm that I was house-sitting. So
nice.
I will also attest to the recuperating powers of going out and getting off your ass and doing something.
Mm. What kind of animals?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
They were cows and a dog.
Do they have souls?
Oh,
cows
look after.
They just open and close gates, and cows do everything else themselves these days.
Shut it, Ben. Go back to your fence. But yes, that's
no.
Exactly. Most of the time I just sat around in the sun reading off my iPhone.
I was amazed by that when I first visited a dairy farm for more than a few days. It's not like I thought you had to herd them. You had to like get the dog out and push them through
the gate. You just need to stop the cars from running them over while they cross the road.
Pretty much it.
They know where they're going.
And they know they've got full teats that they need to get sorted out. Yep. So they'll go there.
Yep. It's an important job that they do. We're very lucky to have them all. So, Ben, you built a fence.
Just a wee fence.
A wee fence.
I've built bigger fences in my times.
So, like a Nintendo fence.
Don't know about my fences.
It's virtual, or is it? What is it?
No, it's a real fence.
You played a fencing game.
It's a real fence. We have a small section.
Yeah.
That's with our house that's in the middle of it. And we just fenced off the front of the house on two sides so that we could then leave the back doors open and the kids can go hog wild and... They're not going to run out.
What's the phrase? But tall fences make good neighbours. Is that your approach? Is it?
We have our boundary fences were built before we arrived. And they are quite tall. And if it was my choice, I'd build them lower. There's a really interesting book called, I think it's a book or a website called A Pattern Language, and it talks about the language of neighbourhoods. I think I haven't read the book.
Yeah,
but I remember one particular anecdote from it, which is talking about your choice of front fence and what it says about your neighbourhood.
Right.
And whether you choose a, you know...
Concrete cinder blocks.
Yeah, 6-foot cinder blocks.
Corrugated iron.
You're probably in a
razor wire.
IP lab.
Gun turrets.
Cameras. Gun turrets, you know, not quite as common.
But they're talking about the point that...
I would love to see a place with gun turrets on it.
A fence that is more of a delineation than a protection is probably the ultimate. Like a picket fence.
Yep.
Which says, here's my house, but have a look.
Mm.
Walk through the gate, that's easy.
Yeah,
as opposed to a 6-foot high, you know, paling fence.
Yeah,
it's interesting. There was a town in the US that was built on planned principles, and they had rules about how high a fence could be because they were trying to encourage as much sort of neighborhood as possible.
Mm.
And very few people, or the people who did move there, ended up moving away because they couldn't hack it, I believe. And then the place was used as the set of the Truman Show.
Wow.
A little bit like the set of The Prisoner, which was another planned community that some dude had made in Wales or something.
Oh, that strange
you can
little
still
town.
Visit it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got friends who've visited. And it still looks the same.
Yeah.
And now all the little shops there and all the people that live there basically make their income off, or at least part of their income off prisoner tourism.
Interesting.
Awesome.
I wonder if they've got a good drug dealer.
I bet they all say, be seeing you.
Be seeing you.
Yeah.
And have colourful umbrellas and all wear a uniform. That
you have to pay
uniform.
Extra to have somebody tell you that you are number six.
I am not a number.
I am a free man.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
What do you want?
We want information.
So you're not going to get it.
By hook or by crook, we will.
Is there some association between The Prisoner and Blake 7?
They are quite similar in a lot of ways. I'll tell you what, there's association between Blake 7 and Firefly.
Oh, yes.
Because Firefly is the modern-day remake of Blake 7. Just think about the character. Oh, fuck it. We're going to edit this out anyway. It's too geeky. But think about it.
I'm taking a very... I'm wielding a light touch.
I've only watched Serenity and not Firefly, so...
Well, you're probably lucky because Serenity is so much better than Firefly.
Serenity also has one... Have I said this before? One of the best lines of any movie ever.
What's that?
Everyone misses it, but they're in the last one of the big firefights and saying, shit, how much ammo have we got left? He says, just these two clips of my big swinging dick. Which is the vision that in your mind is great. So when he runs out of ammo, he's just going to bludgeon people with his dick.
It's classy.
Great line.
And Grand Theft Auto in one of them. Which one? Who can remember? There's a dildo weapon, a great big rubber cock.
Like in,
it's quite violent to use.
South Park movie.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, Hitler and Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saddam.
That was Saddam and Satan.
Oh, Saddam and Satan. Oh, my bad. It's so easy to forget Saddam.
Yeah, which news network have you been watching?
I don't really watch that much news, I have to confess. I enjoy watching television, but television news is something you don't generally download a lot of.
You don't need
it's
it anymore.
It's interesting,
either,
isn't it, though,
really?
That tendency towards getting all of your current events and your news, and even, well, and more especially your commentary from the internet. So more and more we, you know, have the ability to pick what we want to hear about and what kind of perspectives we want to be exposed to.
For instance, our lovely, beloved, darling, intelligent, beautiful, attractive, well-dressed, well-spoken, and sweet-smelling audience choose to get news and... opinion from discourse. Aren't they clever?
That's very true.
They are the best informed New Zealanders.
So on the news front.
On the news front. I'm going to sing lots of stuff just because that guy doesn't like it.
What's news this week?
McDonald's Wi-Fi blocks spark anger. Has everyone heard about this?
I saw, again, this is the way I get the news. I saw on Twitter something about McDonald's and the gays.
Yep.
And but I don't know what it is, so I thought I'll come to discourse and find out.
That's funny. I got my news by reading comments on Kiwi Blog, and my first exposure to it was something like, "Oh God, the poofters have nothing better to whine about than Maccas."
All right. Before we get to the lunacy of Kiwi Blog comments, let's tell our listeners what actually happened. McDonald's have rolled out free Wi-Fi in all of their stores and claim that makes them the largest free ISP, or maybe even the largest ISP.
Probably.
What did they claim? They claimed one of those because of this huge network they've now got. And it was later discovered that
this is McDonald's New Zealand, not McDonald's
worldwide. McDonald's New Zealand.
Yep.
Yeah. It was then quickly discovered that, of course, they had some filtering in place to block, you know, porn sites and so on. And when it was shortly discovered that various... gay community sites were blocked, there was outrage in the streets. Oh my God, make us wear pink triangles, don't you, McDonald's? What is it that you hate about us more?
So has anyone been able to see which sites are blocked? Is it like
there's lots that are blocked. It's very easy to find out what's blocked. You go to a McDonald's store,
Wikipedia nutrition pages.
So are they using like one of those, the like SafeNet or one of those services?
Absolutely. No question are they using one of those services. So there's a variety of sites which are blocked, like lesbianco.nz and daily.gay.com and gaynz.com.
These are safe for work kind of, just community sites.
Well, you're stepping on the punchline a little bit, Ben. The other sites, other non-gay sites that are blocked are like NZ Dating.
4chan.
And... no, the Wikipedia article about the Kama Sutra is blocked. A whole lot of stuff is blocked. And McDonald's say, well, I mean, obviously, we're a family restaurant. Everything, you know, it needs to be family friendly. You don't want people... Family. Well, no, that's not the point, though. You're still stepping on the punchline. Now, let's use the one example that I actually bothered to look at to check. The one that there was a bit of outcry about was gaynz.com. And if you actually go to gaynz.com, you discover that it's got such family-friendly features as a guide of sex-on-site venues. It's got advertising on every page for things like the Auckland Arsemen, quote, fingers, dildos, fists, and everything in between, offering split-level glory holes. It's got classifieds where, you know, some woman is looking for another woman for nerd spanking fun, no men, just girl-on-girl. And so on. And I'm sure that there's lots of articles on the site which are, you know, very useful, family-friendly, you know, safe for work sort of stuff. So but also on every page there's advertising which is not safe for work.
Yeah.
It's not a safe site. There might be useful information like...
So it's not a family site, basically.
It's definitely not a family site. And that's the thing. And it's got nothing to do with being gay.
No.
And that kind of shrill overreaction is doing no one any favours.
It's an adult site.
It is... It is an adult site. It is an adult site with some content which isn't adult. Yeah. So Playboy has lots of articles in it, as they always say, which, you know, are well written by, you know, expert journalists and essayists, but it also has naked ladies in it. So, I mean, you don't expect probably to see someone reading Playboy.com in a McDonald's restaurant and looking at tits, do you?
No. So, that, I mean, there's two things, right? Like you're saying, one is that they block adult sites, not just gay sites.
Yep.
And the second is... If you use a filter, there will be false positives.
There will definitely be false positives.
It's a tautology, categorically.
Yes, that's completely right.
So that's why filters suck so much.
And so it is important for people to probably keep an eye on this stuff, because if they were blocking stuff that was gay just because it was gay and wasn't, you know, about, you know, specifically about sex or, you know, whatever, if it was clean...
In most cases, it's not even the company that's doing the filtering themselves, as in, like, choosing which sites.
No, they'll outsource it, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think a lot of them, even things like the Bible online, is blocked from all of them because it's not necessarily...
Because it's so violent.
Well, it's violent. There's actually sex in there. There's rape. There's murder. There's things that people just like don't like.
Yeah.
I'd love to actually. Yeah, I might go and have a play. So it's online now. All McDonald's now have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Default.
Yeah, which I think is brilliant.
I have to say,
go and play on lunchtime and find some fantastic sites that aren't blocked. I mean, I wonder, 4chan will be blocked for sure. But
Of course. Well, AskMen.com is blocked, and the only thing I've ever used AskMen for is, you know, suit styles and shaving stuff, and it's got a lot of stuff like that. But I think it also has, like, bikini photos and, you know, that
we should set a discourse bounty for the first photo of, you know, like a hardcore porn beside a cheeseburger wrapper in a McDonald's restaurant.
Okay, but it has to be on the Wi-Fi, so you have to have the window up.
Show the Wi-Fi window and the browser window. Yep.
We'll give you something. We'll give you something, but it's not going to be a phone. It'll be a bottle of wine or something.
Yeah.
Didn't you give away a phone last week?
Don't step on the punchlines. We've got an order of play here, Mark.
Well, sticking with McDonald's, you mentioned. And this is a total side note because I'm a pedantic dick, but the moment you said Kama Sutra, I did a quick check, and sure enough, stuff.co.nz has spelled Kama Sutra the common incorrect spelling of with an R between the A and the M.
It's Kama, bro.
Is that so they don't get hit by a filter?
Kama, 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 Chameleon.
The Kama Sutra with an R is whichever way you fuck, you'll get fucked right back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ben, there's no such thing. But if there was, I'm almost certain that's what it would say.
Do unto the universe, lest the universe does unto you. No, that's
you could do
not,
it in a positive way, though, you know?
So McDonald's, other blocked sites, familyplanning.org.nz.
Yeah.
Rainbowyouth.org.nz. So, I mean, who knows? Some of the I haven't looked at all of these sites to see what the content is like.
Yeah.
But possibly they have cast too wide a net. But some of the sites that have been complained about being blocking definitely should be blocked. That's all I'm saying. We wanted to talk to someone about this, but it turns out I don't have any gay friends at all.
Really?
Not
anymore. No. I'm not very good at the reach around.
Rainbow Youth, the biggest thing on the right-hand bar is get free condoms and lube here.
So, I mean, I guess you have to ask yourself, is that family-friendly?
It's healthy and important, but is it family-friendly?
Is it for children? I mean, is it for little children?
Mummy, what's lube?
How many families are going to McDonald's and sitting around the laptop and looking at Rainbow Youth websites?
Lots of families are going to McDonald's and sitting at a table, and someone might be sitting at the table next to them looking at Rainbow Youth websites.
Okay. Well, they could, you know, there's nothing stopping them from just having
Wait a second.
So is that
hold up! Stop the presses, motherfuckers! Family First director Bob McCroskey
I'm going to talk you down.
Last night, applauded McDonald's actions and encouraged the restaurant to continue blocking such sites. So I say, open the floodgates! Fuck that guy and fuck everyone in Family First.
Shit! Family First website blocked by McDonald's because that shit.
God,
be
I hope so because that is offensive.
It's absolutely horrendous.
It's come to my attention that if you set up perhaps any kind of camera, maybe leave it going for about 10 minutes, there would be some kind of weird fight as both Nigel Latta and Bob McCroskey appear at the same time, trying to leap in front of it.
Holy shit, familyfirst.org.nz, not only is the content horrendous, it's probably the worst website in New Zealand in terms of layout. It's disgusting.
Does this mean I should load it? Did you say org?
Yeah. It's horrible.
I don't actually want to give them views. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. It's not that bad. It's quite narrow. Like their minds.
That was an accessible piece of comedy.
Thank you.
So while we're on the... are we carrying on?
Yes, we're carrying on.
We're just into the stories, are we?
I actually kind of mistyped that URL.
Yeah.
And if you go to Family First, you actually go to Family First.
Oh. No, seriously?
Yes.
That's a disappointment.
But if I did not reserve this domain name, some sad person would take it over and use it to slander the excellent work of Family First.
Oh my god!
That is my new favorite thing.
Love that!
What brilliant. I like is that somebody sat down and went, well, guys, Bob, thanks for coming. We've got to work out what we're going to do with our website, and I think the first order of business is, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes here, but I thought that maybe, have you heard of fisting? Well, it's possible that somebody might try to steal the domain name familyfist.org.nz out from under us, and we need to act on this right now.
I think they all know what fisting is.
Yeah, it's how to correct wayward children so that they grow up to be good.
It's what you do when you love your wife and you say something that, what the fuck are you doing, Mark?
I was just punching.
What? What are you doing? I was just punching.
I like how we didn't preface it with any words. There was just the sound of punching.
Punching, duh.
I was fisting live on Discourse.
Self-fisting. Good lord, man. I haven't looked at your hands. I don't recall them being particularly small.
I've got a really homophobic joke that uses the word fist in it.
I'll just move off this. In terms of misspellings, Density Church is also quite a good misspelling.
They weren't on that, were they? They lost that.
Density, yeah. They put the fun back into fundamentalism. Morgan is having a food delivery.
I'm the only one as well. I was trying to get a kiss, but she just kind of smiled at me. And then gave me a look like,
well, Morgan,
get fucked, why would I kiss you?
At least she's not crying.
Well, no, it's funny you say that.
Crying,
and I wonder
like
why you
train.
Bring that up. Like, what are you doing? Oh my god.
I'm not now.
What are you doing? Thank you. That's what I call pulling a Ben, drawing everyone's attention to something that was happening in complete silence.
You're pulling Ben. Oh.
Pulling a Ben. There's Morgan, more than one.
I said, at least she's not crying.
Yes. Tears as chemical signals. Smell of female tears affects sexual behavior of men. The smell.
So it's not just the body language of, hey, you're crying. That's a bit sad.
No. No, it's got nothing to do with that. Some.
It's not political correctness gone mad, Ben.
this is also described as anti-Viagra, which is bizarre. This doesn't make any sense to me at all, because in my this might be revealing a little bit too much. Has anyone ever gotten a fight with their beloved spouse and had her start crying and then kind of inexplicably been aroused by that? Because I used to get that all the time.
Not aroused, but makeup sex is a.
I'm not talking about makeup sex. I'm talking about actually getting arousal from seeing your spouse crying.
Was it sexual? I thought you just started laughing really loudly, Morgan.
I sometimes did that as well. Tears don't upset me when I see them in others, unless there's a really good score, some classical music.
I'm going to hark back to this conversation a little bit later in the podcast. Just be ready for that.
So what this article actually says is that I am wrong about that, and if that did happen to me, then it was a psychological thing, because they say that according to their testing, there's different results coming from different sides here. Some of them say that it has no effect, and some of them say that it reduces arousal. Which is
How did they test?
This is another one of these penile turgidity measures that we talked about a few podcasts ago.
That's an excellent question. I wonder, did they just ask them if they were aroused or what? And what they got, I think, was just tears, not a crying woman. Oh. So maybe that makes a difference.
Well, if some dude in a white coat comes in and smears liquid over my face and then says, "All right, try now." I can't do it.
Goes, sort of sexual...
Must be the tears.
But it might be you watching me with all these cameras.
That's the thing, is any of those sexual preference tests where there's observers and men in white coats, surely it's got to be affected by the observation,
like quantum physics.
Yes,
there's a question here in this article on Discover magazine. Why didn't Gelstein, this is a woman who performed one of these studies, why didn't Gelstein study male tears? She answers, in one word, feasibility. In the West, and perhaps even more so in Israel, crying is currently more acceptable for women than for men. She wanted to work with fresh tears, and she needed people who could cry on demand.
So could not a further conclusion be made that at least tentatively the tears of women who have the ability to cry on demand are an anti-aphrodisiac?
Oh, that might be right. Because that would be like the drama queen, right?
Mm, the weak woman. Like, yeah.
The what?
Oh, I'm going to hark back to so much of this. I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. Next story. Who's got a story?
I've got a quick interlude here.
Yeah.
You know how I interrupted before about spelling Kama Sutra incorrectly?
Mm, yeah.
On that page, they've spelled demystifying incorrectly in the technology headlines as well. Stuff.co.nz. That would turn up on a spell checker. What's wrong with you people?
It was probably read and underlined and possibly pushed into italics in their editor, I bet. I know better than that. That's US English, probably. Not New Zealand English. We've got a different dialect, don't you know, Ryan?
Better double-check that before I make a fucking ass of myself.
Next story. Being a tech podcast, I was called on 2 days ago by radio show saying, can we talk to you about this Vodafone data breach?
Radios.
Vodafone Australia.
Benedict Gracewood.
Yeah, radios. Yeah. They said, can we talk to you about this Vodafone Australia data breach? And I, what data breach? So I went and looked it up. And apparently Vodafone Australia have a portal that any of their dealers can log into with username and password and do customer stuff, which sounds reasonable, wouldn't you think?
I think so.
I mean,
sounds like most companies doing business on the web.
Yeah, they've got some thousands of dealers and new ones coming on every day. People who want to sell phones or sell plans. So that was my response: what are they going to do? And I heard the story was that apparently people were paying for access to this portal so that they could then download the customer's database and spam them or nick their credit cards or whatever. So several things. Number one, if it's just username and password and there are credit cards in there, then fucking PCI and Visa and everyone will be all up in their shit sorting them out, because that's it's basically a breach of your as a card processor. You need more security than that if you're going to be storing credit card numbers.
Aren't you generally not supposed to store credit card numbers?
Yeah, you're not supposed to store them, and if you are storing them, then you need super, super security. And if, as far as I, again, I'm not an expert, but I did read all the PCI documentation at one stage, and what it is that if your security sucks and you don't, and you know about it and you don't fix it, then the liability falls on you. Whereas if your security is awesome and there's a breach, then the liability goes up the chain to the next person, whether the bank or the eventually Visa.
Right.
So that's why, you know, because the credit cards are so easy to be, you know, you can refuse charges and you can, you know, get around fraud, that sort of stuff. But anyway, so that was one thing, is it is bad. But the other thing is what do you expect them to do? We expect the convenience of being able to pop into any dealer who has a Vodafone logo on their window and fix up your, you know, your account or add your credit card.
I've taken advantage of that. I lost a phone in a taxi.
Yeah.
And I went in and got a new SIM and got them to program it with my number. And, yeah, you know, all I needed to do was tell them what my old number was and my name. And I think I gave them a password as well. And away they went. They fixed it up for me right away.
Now, Vodafone NZ say they use two-factor authentication. So that means you've got to have some sort of maybe a, you know, a text message or one of those little security key code things that changes its number every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So they're different to Vodafone Australia. But,
or do you need to click on the picture of the puppy, not the picture of the cat?
Possibly. Is that two-factor? I don't know.
I'm not sure. So, I mean, something you have is your eyes and you're not a robot.
Something you know, something you have, yeah.
What does the colour blue smell like?
This is the thing. So what that means is if a new dealer comes on, they need to be set up and have their second factor thing given to them in some way or told to them. So, I mean, that's not hard, is it? Maybe I am being too easy on Vodafone Australia. Maybe they are.
Well, even if you're selling your details to access the system, you might be selling your little two-factor card thing as well. Exactly. So,
well, that's the other point I made on the radio is surely if you pay someone enough, they're going to walk into their office for you and download everything and give it to you.
Right.
So it's not. Is it a breach?
Which we've had with the IRD and so on as well.
So
right?
is that a security flaw?
Well, it's a security breach because you've got untrustworthy staff somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. The media seem to be beating it up as a flaw. The Australian Privacy Commissioner said something like it was an atrociously bad security. I don't know if it is.
Could they possibly have had a better system? I don't know.
Slow Newsweek. Yeah, they could have had a better system, but like I say, that means that the dealer who wants to, you know, the onboarding new dealers and stuff becomes, you know, a longer process. You've got to send them out their codes and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
But, I guess they'll be doing that now.
But, I mean, dealers were buying accounts, right? I mean, people were getting accounts. So they had legitimate access, but then they're downloading the whole database. So the problem isn't the number of factors.
No.
The problem is that people were misusing the access that they legitimately had.
Yes,
and that they could probably download the database.
Having five-factor authentication wouldn't change that.
Apparently, yeah, I don't know all the details, but it sounds like that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's. I mean, I think Vodafone Australia, no doubt, better than Vodafone New Zealand. Vodafone New Zealand, I have it on good authority from people who've worked with different flavors of Vodafone in different countries around the world. Vodafone New Zealand is the worst. Certainly, the worst Vodafone, and possibly one of the worst mobile carriers to deal with. Vodafone New Zealand fucking sucks.
But Vodafone New Zealand doesn't have a class action lawsuit against it about...
Not yet.
I've taken to retweeting every bad, reception, bad experience thing with Vodafone at the moment because I'm so fucked off with them personally too.
That's why I unfollowed you, Ben.
And the CEO of a large New Zealand company got so fucked off he changed his account as well. So.
Right, no surprises. Yeah. So now this is people who are not able to make calls, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And if they use XT even on the same phone, it works.
Yes.
So, I mean, the conclusion is that the problem is with Vodafone's network.
It's interesting, isn't it? Is it smartphones? Is it what? Because my natural inclination is to reboot my phone or pull my SIM out and put it back in again or whatever. And sometimes it gets better.
Yeah.
But I don't call and log a fault because it's just such a pain in the ass to do. It's really, really painful to call and be on hold for 20 or 30 minutes and say, oh, my phone's not working. And they say, have you tried turning it off and on again?
It's not a PC.
But you do, and often the phone starts working again, probably because, I don't know, the congestion on the cells changed or something like that.
Phones are something that we are used to from a long history of this experience. We're used to them working.
Yeah.
Right? We're used to them working every time. And we're used to being able to rely on them to make things like emergency calls. Mm. Like my child just got knocked off his bike by a car and I really need an ambulance right now, please. If you're with Vodafone and you can't complete a call just because their network's shit. Mm. Okay, so it may be a little bit hyperbolic, but I mean, that can be the difference between life and death.
But I kind of think that needs to happen for it to get some play.
I don't want it to happen.
No.
I want Vodafone to fix their shit. Because, I mean, it would be terrible. You're possibly right. That would make it hugely dramatic, and possibly the government would, you know, set some legislation of call quality standards or something, dictate 4.9 requirements for phone networks or who knows what.
There's some... segueing a little bit, or you know, tangentially, the whole corporate communications thing fucks me off, because I you can almost guarantee that somewhere in Vodafone they have a list of all the shit that's going wrong with their network and the number of dropped calls and all this interference and stuff, and probably it's all bad, but you only hear it when someone else sort of digs it up or points it out, or in the instance where they said XT was the new XT network was stomping all over their network and they had to put filters in, this sort of stuff. Isn't that wrong? I mean, you know, if they have information that things are shit, which I almost guarantee they do, shouldn't they just come out and say, oops, things are a bit rough, we're going to fix them up over the next few, you know, months? Or is it just because they can't afford to invest, or... I don't know. Maybe I'm talking about bigger
problems.
Don't
they make quite a lot of money? Vodafone?
Yeah, so they probably have to report earnings and send them offshore, don't they?
Oh, probably.
So someone's ass will be on the line if they suddenly say, oh, look, we need to spend a whole lot more money on fixing our network.
Man, discourse is really changeable. A minute ago, I was talking about getting wood from watching a girl cry.
And family's fisting.
Family fisting.
I don't know. I wasn't really into that one so much. Next story.
Well, there's one we skipped over earlier on. What's the story with the Hobbit?
apparently, Peter Jackson has rewritten The Hobbit to include Frodo.
What the fuck?
So Elijah Wood is reprising his role as Frodo in The Hobbit.
But presumably it'll be a very small role.
Apparently, from what I understand, it's just going to be like the opening scene, and you're going to have Frodo being told the story of Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, I buy that. That's fine.
And then it moves in.
That just ties the movies together.
Because this movie is coming out after the previous ones. So it's being completely blown out of proportion, I think.
Yeah,
Next, they'll be adding female characters to the story.
Well, I'm just thinking, if you're going to have Frodo...
Like a woman could ride a horse.
You may as well have Indian hobbits.
We're getting a little bit of wind noise there, guys.
That's me, I apologise.
There's little short hobbits running around all over the place.
You know what else happens in Wellington?
Wind?
I get they get money.
They get money, the motherfuckers. Turns out...
It's all that government money, isn't it?
It turns out New Zealand has the highest average... income, according to Seek anyway, according to the jobs on Seek, which is a specific kind of jobs. Mm. I mean, okay, so maybe they've got a few street sweepers.
You mean Wellington?
Wellington.
So you said New Zealand has the highest income.
Is that what I said? Jesus. I'm so fucking pro. God, I'm pro. New Zealand has the highest average income in New Zealand. No shit. And also the lowest.
So Wellington has higher... Is that, like you say, is that because there's more...
Wellington average salary, $74,392. Auckland, $71,103.
Now, is that just because government's there?
What I was going to say, is that because there's less manual...
That's because the government is there, and all of our money gets poured into Wellington, and very little of it ever makes its way back out.
Also because, there's much... I'd say there's a lot more kind of warehouse manual... production stuff going on in Auckland than there is in Wellington. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely would agree.
The ratio,
we've got farms.
The ratio
we've
of
got,
white collar to blue collar, I think, would be higher in Wellington than Auckland.
Yeah.
So it's not that they're getting paid more. It's that there's more white collar jobs in Wellington.
We actually also have a bigger sample size, so that might make some difference.
There are a lot of jobs in Wellington, though.
Because of the fucking government money. They're grey-faced assholes.
But isn't that being cut now by National? Isn't it? They're all sort of trimming back?
That'd be nice. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? As long as it didn't mean that, you know, we lost absolutely all of our services and people were denied really basic healthcare and human dignity. That'd be nice.
And all the good work. All the good
people. Yeah, but that's not what's going to happen, is it?
That, I mean, that's what will happen, is all the good...
you know what's really good? I'll tell you what's good.
Employees will move on because, they'll see what's going on.
Maybe they will. Mm. IID
good,
call centre. IID call centre.
Yes, what's good
I don't mean IID. Company's office.
What's good about it?
Actually, IID. Amazingly fast performance. Mm. Whoever you talk to can do whatever you want. Well, in my experience, for business tax stuff,
yeah,
bloody great. Great dealing with the IID. People who have trouble dealing with the IID probably are the same people who don't know how to pay their bills on time.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with the IID, paying your bill on time is of paramount importance. If you can't do that, you're in trouble.
Sounds much better than trying to talk to the regional council in Auckland.
But even if you can't pay your bills on time, they're usually pretty reasonable about it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember when we when I first started my my last business, I didn't think we were going to do a lot of fringe benefit tax, and so they turned it off for me.
Yeah.
Didn't need to do any returns or anything for FBT. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What were you saying about regional councils in Auckland, Mark? There aren't any.
Well, I tried ringing the super city yesterday or the day before to try and talk to
you
someone.
You don't ring the super city. You put the symbol up on the clouds, you dick.
Yes. So I've got like this, my neighbour's got this weed that keeps growing over the fence. I think it's a noxious plant. So I tried calling someone at biosecurity.
Did you try talking to your neighbour?
Over the last couple of years, numerous times he just won't cut it down or do anything with it.
Okay, right. Yep.
And I was on hold for about 40 minutes and then they hung up.
Nice.
After they
transferred. Wait, were you on a Vodafone phone?
Actually, I was. Surprisingly, I was, actually. So after I got transferred to what was the regional council and bounced through about five different departments, then they just hung up on me.
Yeah. Are you sure you actually even were connected? Did it just go quiet? Because that sounds like Vodafone.
Well, there was some really bad electro, techno, dance music, drum and bass as the whole music, which then went silent after a while. And then I got dropped.
I had a good experience with ARC when, because I didn't know this, but if the air pollution, yeah, like you say, air pollution in plants is the regional council and pretty much everything else is the local council. So if your neighbours are having a fire and there's smoke blowing over your property, you've got to ring the regional council air pollution line. It's very interesting. It's not interesting at all, actually, but, you know, fuck it.
Next story. Beer intake doubles. According to the Herald, New Zealanders. Yeah. New Zealanders drank twice as much beer in December as usual. I can't get a straight figure as whether that means the previous December or compared to a normal any other month.
I know why that'll be.
Yeah.
It's because there's Ranfurly stuff on the shelves.
Oh, yeah, and people can't get enough of that Ranfurly.
No.
Golly, that's good stuff. Pregnant pause. That shit is shit.
The domain name's about to expire, though, isn't it?
Don't give it away, Ben.
Ranfurly,
it tastes like shit. Ranfurly, actually, it tastes like nothing. It tastes like soda stream water. Yeah, it's disappointing. One thing this article says is that it's a mark of pride for Northlanders to be Lion Red drinkers. Do you think that's true? Is that a mark of pride?
I think it's more about probably peer pressure and price.
Is Lion Red cheap? I can't say I buy a lot of Lion Red.
As far as I know, it's not a premium beer. So it's
not a premium beer, no.
Doesn't it cost about the same as all the other shit? All the shitty,
it's a double
like crappy Stella and all that rubbish?
No, it's cheaper than Stella and Heineken. It's down with them.
So it's like $22 a dozen instead of $26
or something? And it's like, you've seen that Simpsons episode where they go to the brewery and there's Duff.
Fudd.
There's Duff Light, Duff Premium, everything, and they're all got this one pipe in the roof that fills up each barrel.
Mm.
Yeah, that's Lion, Waikato, Auckland Draft. You know, they're all the same things. Yeah, Tui.
Max.
It's all the same shit.
Spates.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not actually the same. They taste quite different from one another. The lagers, the golden lagers taste pretty similar. Full disclosure, Ryan, if you're going to talk about that, you're going to have to disclose.
I'm not. I'm turning off my mic again.
All right. Hospitality Association boss Bruce Robertson said people at a bar would often try to impress others with a more expensive drop than if they were at home. I am not convinced that's true, but I only say that because I can't imagine doing that myself.
Mm.
that's kind of a sad life that you live if the if you think that you're impressing people by buying a different beer. I think that a better reason to buy a different beer is to try a different beer.
Mm, different tastes.
But if you're out at the pub because you are lonely,
yeah,
then just drink up. And if the guy sitting next to you is going to talk to you whilst you're buying him an expensive beer, it's good.
Right.
You've got someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, guy next to me in the pub. Buy me a beer, buy me another beer, and now blow me in the toilets. That's happened to everyone else, right?
No, but I always like to thank that another hot tip from Senior Loneliness Correspondent.
Why do these homosexuals keep trying to suck my penis?
Senior Loneliness Correspondent.
Yes. Oh,
no. I'm so lonely, I'm sitting at home alone talking to strangers on the internet.
We're not strangers.
I know you're strange.
People are strange when you're a stranger.
So beer, drink it. It's good.
Yep. There is a beer I recommend.
If only there was a way I could find out.
Everyone's talking over each other. Ryan, go.
There was a beer that I tried and I quite enjoyed, Heavenly Creatures, which I found at Smith Bar.
You mean Little Creatures.
Oh, is it Little Creatures?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Heavenly Creatures is a movie.
Yeah. A shitty Peter Jackson movie.
Let's start.
Get fucked, Peter Jackson!
Did they have hobbits in it as well?
No.
Bilbo?
There is a movie that I... God. Okay, hang on. Let's start this over again. Ready? There is a beer that I quite enjoyed.
I'm not going to cut any of that.
Good. That's fine. Little Creatures. I recommend it. It's quite a nice little beer. And I found it at the Smith Bar and Northern Steamship, both next to Britomart in Auckland.
Do you know, if only there was a way that I could find out about all the good beers available in New Zealand.
If only.
If only.
If only there
somebody
was
had done some kind of beer review.
Yeah. I'll
just rest on that for a moment.
Wouldn't that be something?
Apple has finally pulled VLC from the App Store.
Those motherfuckers. Why would they do that? VLC is so good. Is it because it shows up QuickTime for being a complete piece of fucking crap?
I'm going to probably get this completely wrong, and Mark may correct me, hopefully. But I say it's all because of bloody...
it's GPL.
Richard Stallman.
No, it's GPL. Was it Stallman?
Richard Stallman.
Right.
Well, I believe there was actually a VLC developer who complained.
Yeah, there was. No, but I mean, GPL goes back to Richard Stallman, right? Is that
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So are we saying that the GPL is not good?
No, it's Richard Stallman's philosophy... dogma, everything. That the GPL not only includes the fact that you have to share and share alike. So if you modify the code, it's got to be shared. So if you base something on GPL code, then the thing it's based on has to be GPL'd. So it's basically, it's viral.
Yeah.
But also, it has to be quote-unquote...
Sorry, just a second. Mark?
Yes?
Whatever the hell it is that you're doing, fucking stop it. And now,
someone again.
Let me get back to Ben. Some of my best friends are viral, Ben.
So the second part, the second leg to the GPL thing is the source code and the product. Everything has to be quote unquote freely available. So the complaint of the developer was the App Store is not freely available.
Yeah, that's so, quite a reasonable complaint.
So there is a
fuck Apple.
Yeah, the VLC for iPhone you can only get through the App Store.
Right.
So therefore, it violates the GPL. So Apple pulled it.
However, the company that paid for the source code, or paid to actually do the port to iOS, made the source code freely available on their website, where you actually see all the details about the particular application.
But
the
that seems GPL, like that should be enough.
But the GPL stipulates that it has to be basically along with the application.
Right. No, it just means that says you have to make the source code available, I believe.
Right, well, that should be enough. But I think that since this happened, what Apple have done is said that anything that's GPL is banned.
I don't think they did that, did they? I think they just pulled VLC.
I think they did.
Let me find the quote.
See, if I do that high-pitched voice and just contradict you, I don't need to back anything up I say with facts.
Hang on.
Prove me wrong.
Applications released under the new GPL are required to remain freely distributable. So with VLC, users could play almost any format, blah, blah, blah. What does it say? Okay, so... Thus, the incompatibility between the GNU GPL and the App Store terms of use is resolved the hard way. This end should not have come to a surprise to anyone, given the precedence. So there is an incompatibility between the GPL and the Apple App Store, and the only way to resolve it is to remove GPL stuff from the App Store.
That developer from the VLC project is a fucking asshole.
He's making a point.
He is making a point, but VLC is great, and the more people can access it, the better, I think.
It is, and the thing is that basically the only what do you call it? The only outcome of this is, or the only detriment is the GPL, because you could use a BSD license or an Apache license, and you know it'll be fine.
There's plenty of other open source GPL software that's in the App Store as well.
Oh, hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Have you ever been castrated and bled to death?
I can't say I have, and it's not on my to-do list.
Because according to an article on 3NewsCoNZ, a Portuguese model held in New York hotel castration death. She's 21, Renato Zebra.
She or he?
And she would refer to me.
I think you'll find it might be a he.
Is it a he? Ooh. Oh, I guess I didn't look for any, whatever those words are that...
Well, to start with, his name ends with an O, which in Portuguese and Spanish generally means masculine.
Oh, you're right, Renato. Oh, it'd be Renata. Well, this dude, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. The gender of the model is not important.
No.
What's important is that this guy had his cock and balls cut off, and that killed him, which isn't very nice.
Surely he could have got to a hospital in time. Was he unconscious as well or something?
I think he was found dead in the hotel room.
Nasty.
Very nasty.
Oh yeah, Zebra is a dude. There's one reference to a gendered whatever pronoun or whatever. Senior language correspondent Ryan Sproul, what word do I mean? What kind of word do I mean? He, she?
Pronoun.
Right, okay. I got there in the end.
I never went to school.
I was, well, I did,
what
but I was kicked
about
out.
That castration, what relevance does that have?
Oh, I was bored of whatever we were talking about.
Think of the dolphins.
But it is a tech podcast, right?
It is a castration podcast.
Let that be a lesson to anyone who talks about anything that Morgan's not interested in.
Yeah, pretty much.
He'll segue onto castration faster than you can even get a big soft.
So Ryan, tell me, what's this that's happened with Doctor Who, the Doctor? I've heard that he might be an incestuous pervert.
Well, you know he's not.
No?
And you tell the story, and I'll explain how he's not.
Okay, fine. So everybody knows that that Doctor Who has been brought back with three new Doctors since... When did Doctor Nine come out?
2005.
2005.
That was Christopher Eccleston.
Christopher Eccleston, fantastic. He was pretty good, and then he was replaced by David Tennant because I guess Eccleston wanted to not be typecast. David mm-hmm. Tennant did a really great job, and now he's been replaced by Matt Smith because I guess Tennant wanted to go and do other movies. Now, in the 1980s, I think you do get typecast by being the Doctor.
Mm.
Yeah, in the 1980s, was the fifth Doctor was played by Peter Davison. And he had a daughter called Georgia Moffat, and she played the 10th Doctor's daughter in an episode, a 2008 Doctor Who episode called The Doctor's Daughter. And now David Tennant is marrying his own fictional daughter in real life. Does that make him incestuous? Like, incestuous multiple times. It's his own daughter, but it's also, like, his previous incarnation's daughter.
It's not his own daughter.
It is his own daughter.
Fucking
no.
Okay. We've been through this.
If you're thinking about the character, the daughter
Ryan,
was actually him.
Ryan, if in the Atom Smasher, the LHC, create a micro-universe.
A micro-universe and a little bang. A little pop.
Just a normal bang.
A little thud.
Sorry, back to incest.
Just quickly, incest. I'd like to know if you can get typecast by playing Wurzel Gummidge.
Daddy, is this incest?
Did you know that, and I'm ready to be corrected on this, but Penny... Oh, Christ.
Wurzel Gummidge was Pertwee.
I'm ready to be corrected on this, but I believe that, what was her name, Georgia Davison?
Georgia Moffat.
Georgia Moffat was one of the people considered to actually be the next Doctor.
After woman? Are you kidding me? A woman? A woman couldn't do that job.
Catherine Zeta-Jones was considered as well.
Oh, not for very long. She's awful. She's so horrible.
It was a passing thought, I'm sure. But
throat cancer as well.
People have talked about for a long time the possibility of him regenerating as a woman.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah, it could work.
But a woman can't be a doctor.
Yeah, well, obviously.
They'd have to change it to
the nurse.
The primary school teacher. The receptionist.
The homemaker. It's okay, I'm the homemaker.
There has actually been a female doctor.
Is that canonical, Mark? Is that canonical?
It was, wasn't that in like the... That was
Joanna,
in the comedy
Joanna
one, right?
Joanna Lumley yeah. played the Doctor.
Oh, in like a comic strip presents kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, where they had six people played the Doctor in like a half-hour sketch.
And what's his handle? Withnell, from Withnell and I. What's his name? Richard E. Grant. He played yeah. one of them as well.
So there's Richard E. Grant, Hugh Grant.
Rowan Atkinson.
Yep, and I can't remember the other guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not canonical, Mark. Not canonical.
No, but still did happen.
Ben just left. He said he was really bored.
No, I was going to say, have you got another story?
Incest. Hey, have any of you guys ever been castrated and died?
Oh, God. Hey, you brought it up. You brought the Doctor up.
And I'm glad that I did, but then we did talk about it for a little bit longer than it deserved. You know
do you
what?
Like
is,
Matt Smith.
I think Matt Smith is a great doctor.
Shut up, Mark. He's
castration.
Good.
How about a dolphin chaser to clear your mind?
Dolphin
of it?
Chase? Is that like a chubby chaser? This is people who that's sneak like up on dolphins and have rumpy pumpy.
And that's like a unicorn chaser to clear your mind of bad thoughts.
This is according to the timesonline.co.uk. Scientists say dolphins should be treated as non-human persons.
I thought they already were.
Well,
non-human anyway.
Yeah, they are treated as non-human.
Aren't apes
yes, Mark. Dolphins. Dolphins, elephants, cats, dogs, chimpanzees, starfish. They're all non-human
really
as well.
It's a radical shift. Scientists suggest that animals be treated as non-human.
No, Mark, the key word here is that they should be treated as persons.
I would have thought that that apes and chimpanzees were first off the rank to be treated as persons.
Well, I suppose this is about intelligence and awareness and problem solving and the ways that you measure, you know, the intellectual power, the sentientness. What's the word, philosopher? Yeah, but I want to talk about, you know, relative sentience. Is there such a thing? I mean, can one thing be more sentient than another, or is it just a switch? Are you not sentient and then sentient?
Sentia.
The sentientness. The
sentienticity.
Sentientification.
Open only for the holidays.
And you met Oppo?
There was a sculpture.
Oppo was dynamited.
There was a sculpture.
Honestly, if everybody
Oppo.
Who tweeted that they met Oppo had actually met Oppo, then a lot of people would have met Oppo.
He was only around for a season.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, I mean, the statue says from 19, I think it was 54 to 55 or something like that.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And the statue is of him with a small boy sort of half climbing onto his back.
I thought it was a girl.
It's a young child, so it could be a boy or a girl. It's got short.
No, I mean Oppo.
Yes, I think Oppo was a girl, but there's a small boy sort of climbing.
So why
up.
Did you say he?
I don't know.
Back to the pronouns.
Because Moko was a he, wasn't it?
Moko.
Yeah.
Moko.
Moko.
Moko. Moko. Moko rhymes with Coco, not Moko rhymes with Toko. Anyway. The idea, now let's see, dolphins have been declared the world's second most intelligent creatures after humans, with scientists suggesting they are so bright that they should be treated as non-human persons. And that's why they're ahead of other primates on the ranks. And this will be the first step, because then you have to introduce others, I'm sure, really.
Yeah. Like robots.
Yeah, like robots. Robots are clearly, you know, artificial intelligences, synthetic intelligences, eventually, probably.
Does that
mean that two dolphins could get married?
The church wouldn't allow that.
Greatness gone mad.
They could have a civil union.
Right.
For tax purposes.
How would they sign the register?
Green! So audibly, I guess. Maybe like flapping their tails on them.
Sorry, can we go back to Morgan trying to sound like a dolphin?
I was really bad at it, I know. I'm so sorry.
I'll do my impression of you pretending to be a dolphin. Gree!
I feel terrible.
My God, Brian, that is so realistic. You really do sound like Morgan.
Well, I was just copying the echo in my headphones.
There, that was pretty convincing, wasn't it?
That was really good. That was much better than your first attempt, Morgan.
What difference would it make?
I especially like it when you hit
persons.
Your face and it sounds like drums.
Have you heard my lion roar?
I didn't even know you had a lion.
God. It ruins the show when I do sound effects, doesn't it?
Hey, have you guys seen QI, the QI Christmas special?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, no. Well, then I won't use that joke on you.
Our listeners may not have.
All right. Knock, knock.
What?
Knock, knock.
Who's there, Brian? Who's there?
To.
To who?
To whom?
Now, I did see that on QI, but I also saw it on a wonderful site called antijoke.com, which has a couple of other gems. For example, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple?
Finding
a worm.
The Holocaust. Oh, keep your finger poised. how do you confuse a blonde?
I don't know. How do you confuse a blonde?
Paint yourself purple and throw forks at her.
That one's actually quite good.
It's anti-joke. They're very good.
You've heard my son's favorite knock-knock joke.
Tell me.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting dog.
Interrupting.
Woof, 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 woof.
Oh man, that is good. That was entertaining.
See that's timing. I am contributing something to this show.
It's all about timing.
Oh, very good.
So an iPhone and an Android user enter a bar, and the iPhone guy goes, "Sorry, I'm late. The alarm didn't go off." Oh. Android goes, "Dude, what do you mean? Didn't get the text. The meeting's cancelled."
What?
People. Some people who send texts from Androids go to the wrong tech people.
Oh! So what happens with Windows Phone 7s? They exceed their data cap.
Yeah, they use all the data, apparently. I haven't had the problem.
No, well, it seemed to
I've actually got another good knock-knock joke. Morgan, you start.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Doctor.
Doctor who?
Oh, God, how did he know? I'd regenerated since the last time we met. So you thought you had me, didn't you, asshole?
You know,
knock-knock.
Who's there?
Telpo.
Telpo who?
Telpo Lala's dead.
Where's your finger now, Morgan? Do the crickets, quick! Play us out of here, Stan.
You're going to have to explain that one.
Teletubbies.
Telpo.
Ho and Lala.
Oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
That wasn't the lion's roar that you planned.
Horribly wrong. Speaking of Taupo, Taupo has a foreshore.
Yeah, they do. Also, in one study, Diana Rice.
I was trying to save the show there.
I know, but I want to talk about these dolphins a little bit more.
What difference does it make if they're persons?
You need to treat them differently, and you decide that you probably don't want people to round them up in what do they call them? Pods? Are dolphins pods, or are they gangs?
Pods, yeah.
Pods.
And kill them until the entire sea runs red.
They probably
people shouldn't do that anyway.
No, people shouldn't do that. But if they're given human person status, personhood, then they'll have even stronger protection than they currently have.
Would they, in fact, fall under Universal Charter of... Oh, I was going to say... Human rights.
I would say yes. Yes, yeah. I would say yes. And I think that's the idea.
So Hang on a second, I've got to go free my dolphins.
So they have the right to fresh water.
Wouldn't that kill them?
Oh no, there's exactly a Nile dolphin, right? Isn't there a not Nile? Amazon dolphin.
Look, there's a dolphin. Shit, it's got no fresh water. Quick.
There's a Ganges dolphin.
There's different Amazon dolphins. Sorry, Morgan, you were saying.
In one study, this is just demonstrating the brightness of dolphins. In one study, Diana Rice, professor of psychology at Hunter College, City University of New York, showed that bottlenose dolphins could recognize themselves in a mirror and use it to inspect various parts of their bodies because they're dirty. An ability that had been thought limited to humans and great apes.
I saw a great example of dolphin intelligence on a nature show once where they have names. Dolphins have names. They have a certain
click, click, click.
Click, click, screech that is their name. And they were filming.
Should I try it again?
That's specious, man.
They were filming, and basically a little baby dolphin had got its name, and it was just going the same thing over and over and over and over and over again until its mother kept on sort of butting it.
Yeah.
And then eventually she held it against the bottom of the sea, because baby dolphins have a much shorter breath than adult dolphins.
Yeah.
Held it there until it started to get uncomfortable, and then let it go up and take a breath, and it stopped saying its name over and over and over again.
Oh, man.
It's kind of the opposite of that scene in American Pie.
What's that?
Stop saying my name, bitch.
Yes, have you seen the dolphin bubble vortexes?
Yes, incredible.
Oh, they're incredible. Well, we'll have to put a whole lot of stuff in the show notes. Yeah. This stuff is all so brilliant. There's a whole lot of.
Have you seen how clever octopuses are? Octopodes are.
Yes. Yes, very. I have. And also ninja-ish hunters.
Yeah. Did you ever see the footage of that? They couldn't work out why all these rare fish were like just disappearing.
They weren't just fish; they were sharks.
Were they sharks?
Out of neighboring tanks.
Climbing up out of his little
tank. Oh, this is a different story.
Yeah.
Now, this is there were a series of tanks, and at night they would turn off the lights and go to sleep, the caretakers of this place. And they'd come back, and a bunch of fish would be missing. They're like, how the fuck does this happen? So they put up infrared cameras, and they saw that the octopus was throwing one of its tentacles out of its tank, attaching to a pipe above the tank, crawling along the pipe, dropping down into a neighboring tank, eating a bunch of fish, then going back to its tank before the keepers came back in the morning.
Was that the same one that was shooting out the light as well?
Entirely possible.
There was one that kept squirting hot water at a hot
light. I, for one, welcome our new octopus masters, overlords.
There was another story in a larger tank, like a Kelly Tarleton's style sea tank, where sharks kept on turning up dead, and they did a similar thing with putting up cameras and discovered that it was an octopus was hunting the sharks. Mm. They had just no fucking chance against this octopus. Not only are they clever, but they've got creepy eyes as well.
You have to hold a shark still to kill it, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. They're the honey badger of the water.
If you hold a honey badger still, it can't breathe.
Yeah, that's what I was confused by.
Oh, no, I was harking sure you'd back. Be saying it's a hunting problem. Things far, you know, greater than them and kicking its ass.
Honey badgers are the ninjas of the land, are they?
They are.
I thought that was ninjas.
I thought wolverines were.
Maybe ninjas are the ninjas of the trees.
Honey badgers are more brutal, fierce, and intelligent than wolverines.
Really? Are you sure?
I am actually sure of this.
Because wolverines are actually a bear, aren't they? And they're just incredibly
wolverines
nasty.
Wolverines are, no, they're a mustelid. They're of the same family of weasels and stoats.
Yeah. Interesting.
Someone's showing off now.
Hey, when I was a kid, I used to go through little periods of studying the shit out of something. And one of those things, when I was about 8 years old, was mustelids.
Right. Well, is a honey badger a mustelid as well?
It is not, no. Okay. I don't think so.
Is it a badger?
It's not a badger. That's probably a mustelid, actually.
Badger, mushroom. Badger.
Oh, it's a snake. It's a snake.
You know what looks like a snake? A little bit. A really long train.
Interesting, you say.
But you wouldn't know that in Auckland, considering...
Because there aren't any.
Because there weren't any for 2 weeks on at least some lines.
Is that because they're electrifying?
Is that... No, that's because New Zealand doesn't know how to do anything well.
It's electrifying.
What other country in the entire fucking world would turn off their trains for 2 weeks to some maintenance?
People only use trains
for commuting. North Korea, Morgan.
I bet North Korea wouldn't do it.
People only use trains for commuting, and they don't commute at Christmas time, so they can get fucked.
Morgan's into trains running on time. We know what that means.
That means I like to get places when I want to be there.
Means you're a
socialist. Yeah, so do I. I've been forced to use my scooter to go in and out of work as a result of the trains, which I'm very forgiving of the trains, actually, because it's amazing for me to be out here in Meadowbank and to be able to walk 5 minutes down the road, jump on the train, and 8 minutes later for the small fee of $3.10, I think it is, and I'm in the middle of town.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, and often when it's really busy, you get away without paying at all because there's just too many people.
No, don't do that. Do you mean
to pay them? Honestly, I go up to them. I say,
"Oh, do you not have to?" Oh, this is we still do that bullshit where you give the conductor money.
Yeah, he's going up and down, so taking dumb. Money. So many people, he can't get through them all.
It's time to put snapper cards
off.
On.
I'm like, "Hey, I'll pay," and he goes, "Nah, can't be bothered with the hassle."
Don't give it away.
Well, no, he's in his mind. It's like, well, it's our fault. You know, we couldn't get to you in time. Mm. Free ride for you.
That's a fair call.
We all need RFID chips implanted in the back of our necks. That would sort that out.
I don't want it in my neck. I'm happy to put it in my wallet. That would be sufficient.
Sorry, yeah, that's probably a bit simpler as well.
Means eminentizing the Christian eschaton.
No, you need a number of the beast, Morgan.
I need that?
Your forehead and on your wrist.
Because the Bible says so.
But
you have to have it eventually.
But the Bible was written by idiots who didn't know anything. What it was? It was written like 1,500 years ago. What did people do 1,500 years ago that we still think is clever now?
RFID.
I don't think they had RFID. I don't think. I mean, they had a whole lot of stuff that we take for granted now.
You'll notice that they were clever enough not to put like a date or a time into when they expected these things to happen. They, much like the movie Gattaca, used the in the not so distant future style of what's going to happen as
a long time
to,
ago,
you know, space 1999
in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah,
as opposed to 2012.
I think NASA needs to do one of their debunking. So you see, there's a NASA blog that debunks common myths, and they recently responded about the 2012 and the Mayan calendar.
Yes,
and
I saw that.
They said there's no galactic plane alignment. There's no, you know, just like we don't, the Earth doesn't, the world doesn't finish every 31st of December. We just go back to 1st of January.
How do they know that?
Something as a social social
They're
media.
They're so arrogant, those NASA guys.
As a social media marketing professional that I am,
yeah,
a SMD as the term is.
Wait, really? Cut them off.
Social media douchebag. I really admire the skill with which NASA uses Twitter.
And facts.
And the same with New Scientist. They're both very, very clever in their tweets. They put effort into it. They've got some copywriters working there.
I haven't followed New Scientist. I'll have to do that.
I recommend you do.
I'm missing an article. Which article am I missing?
The one about...
Foreshore and Seabed Myth Busted.
I thought I was going to talk about... No, it's all right. Carry on.
Act on campus.
Your thing's fine.
Voluntary student unionism.
Oh, yes, tell me about that.
I've got plenty to say about that.
But in Auckland, that meant that there were no more students anymore.
Because it is voluntary in Auckland.
Auckland
now,
University
isn't it?
It's been voluntary in Auckland for at least 10 years.
Well, so, I can speak with some authority on this because I acted for a year in a role where my income was to some degree influenced by the fact that we had certainly my profession was influenced by the fact that we had voluntary student membership rather than compulsory.
Former Cracker editor, Ryan
just
Sproul.
After I left university. And so what was the effect on AUSA when it went voluntary?
Well, a massive, massive reduction in funds for them to work
and
with,
stolen
obviously.
Money.
Which was not, it didn't actually have an impact on how much money the students had, because the way it works is that all the students pay, and possibly I'll be corrected on this, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct, all students pay a student services levy, which goes to the university, and the university then gives some of it to the AUSA to work with. So the fees of being a member of AUSA are actually simply saying, yep, I'm putting the weight of my student services levy behind AUSA.
Right, so the choice there is whether your money is then controlled by lunatics in the AUSA or is controlled by incredibly boring, incredibly uncreative retards.
Yes, but the lunatics are voted in and can be rolled. You know, they're democratically accountable.
Yeah.
And I'm actually... To tell you the truth, I'm in favor of voluntary student union membership, probably with an opt-out rather than opt-in, so that by default you're a member, but it's made very clear to you that you can, during the process of enrolling in a university, that you can say that you don't want to be a member and that you'd want to...
Is that how it is now, though, in Auckland? Or?
Well, no, you can opt out. Well, no, at the moment it's opt-in, and huge amounts of resources of Auckland University Student Association go every year into having people out there asking students to join something that they don't even know exists, which, you know, can be argued for, that you really should tell somebody what the reason is for them opting into something before you take their money.
So things like orientation and stuff still run by AUSA, or is that the university that does that?
AUSA does a lot of the orientation stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure the university takes part as well. I can't speak to that. But it is the case that in addition to a radical drop in income, or at least in resources that the student association has to work with, there is the added cost of having to go out and spend resources on recruiting people. Recruiting is probably not the right word, but recruiting people into AUSA. Well, the effect it had on the magazine was that we were, and this is before my time, but it's the circumstances under which I had to work, we were entirely reliant or almost entirely reliant on advertising to fund the printing of the magazine. There was funds
like,
to pay
like most
me.
Magazines, like almost every magazine in the country.
Absolutely, but not other student magazines. We are still the, I say we, they are still the only student magazine in the country that relies almost entirely on advertising for upkeep. And they do pretty well. I mean, you've got a really good situation for advertisers because you've got a target captive demographic, people who have the choice between listening to their lectures or reading the magazine that's in front of them. But certainly other student magazines around the country, and it was very, very clear to me when we were involved in things like the Aotearoa Student Press Association Awards, that these other magazines around the country had... It was shocking. We hosted them the year before my year in Auckland, and the guys from Victoria University came up to our office and asked if they could print out some notes before some speech. And we were just in hysterics that they thought we had a printer. I was working for that year on a computer that, I mean, you wouldn't even, you couldn't give it away today, and you probably couldn't have given it away back then. It was absolute shit. The budget extended to paying my salary, which is often split between, which is pretty modest to begin with, and is often split between two co-editors, and the advertising manager, who obviously pays for himself by actually bringing in that revenue, and the graphic designer for 2 days or 3 days out of the week, who was, you know, wonderfully talented, and it was fantastic to work with him. But we looked at these other student associations and their magazines, and I visited Victoria University in my year when we went down to cover the sports events, and we walked into a mystical fucking wonderland, a Disneyland of you know, Apple computers all around.
Again, funded by the money,
stolen
willfully off students who had no idea that where it was going.
That is certainly the other side of the story. And like I say, I am in favour of voluntary.
I think that the students working at Crackham, in the desolate wasteland of Crackham, we're just getting a realistic idea of what the real print media industry is going to be like in about 2 years.
Most of the writers I had were volunteers. They were unpaid volunteers, which was different from the...
And that's the way they're going to be for their entire careers as writers, unpaid. Well, so just get them used to it early.
No, hang on, come on. You're not being serious here, Morgan. I make like $60 to $100 off my website and that, where I do my writing.
Wow, $60 to $100, that must really go a long way towards sandwiches.
Yeah.
Just that one sandwich.
It's a big sandwich.
It's not a big sandwich either.
But no, I was tremendously fortunate to have an incredible array of volunteer writers, and some of them have gone on to do some really, really cool things. But they were all volunteers. They were working for them. I mean, and there is an argument that says that you get better writers when they're doing it for the love of it and not for the money.
I guess Ryan's battery's flat.
Did he just plug in?
Yeah. I did. Sorry, I'm running out of battery.
All right. We can dig it.
But so the whole reason we were talking about this, is there a bill before Parliament to make it voluntary, to disband compulsory student unionism or something? Is there?
It's not my story.
Yes, it was a private member's bill of, I think, Roger Douglas.
Roger fucking Douglas.
Is it going ahead?
Well, I'm strongly against it, whatever it is.
I expect it will go through. There's been a huge number of submissions from students and students' associations, and, of course, NZUSA, the combined student associations. But
was it written on parchment?
On Ayn Rand.
In the blood of infants?
There is a strong.
Did it have a mashed at the bottom instead of signing it? Did he just mash his paw on it?
it's very. I think it's very likely to go through, despite the.
And there's been a whole bunch of controversy around it. Like what did Act on Campus say about the vote to keep compulsory?
Well, they didn't. They didn't specifically. The controversial line is that. Something being, you have to go right back to what it was that they were quoting. Act on Campus on their Facebook page posted a link to an article by a Canadian writer who was talking about compulsory, trade unionism in sections of Canada. And there was a court ruling or some kind of tribunal that ruled in favor of the union saying something along the lines of the majority's decision to be unionized outweighs the individuals who did not want to be in a union, and outweighs their choice or their desire to opt out.
That's fair enough. It's a democratic decision.
Well, that's the thing, is you say that's fair enough, it's a democratic decision, as if being a democratic decision, being a majority, makes it right. But the analogy that he then draws, or the way that he makes a point in extremis, is he says, if there are three people in an alleyway and two of them are men who want to rape the third person, who is a woman, and they both decide that that's what they're going to do, that doesn't outweigh the right of the woman to not be raped. It doesn't make it right just because it's a majority decision.
It's a fucking $50 a year fee, not rape, for God's sake.
True, but I maintain that that's not the analogy they were making. They weren't saying that to be forced to be a member of any kind of organization is the same as, or is even remotely similar to, being raped. Their point was that, or his point was, and presumably their point by quoting him, was that a majority decision does not automatically whitewash something. The fact that a majority has said that that's what they want doesn't make that thing right.
The tyranny of the majority.
But tyranny of the majority, exactly.
I don't want a national government, but I live with one. Because
yes.
The majority said they did.
That is a very full house.
I've been
to your house. I didn't know that there was a whole... Fine.
But
I'm sorry.
I don't think anybody in New Zealand is saying just because a majority voted for National, therefore anything they do is right. And what the original author of the article was saying was it is not the case that just because a majority of a group have been in favor of something, that it is right to impose on that decision on all members of the group.
Right. It's a bit misguided to use rape as the example, although your point is well made, Ryan.
It could very well be. I mean, it could have been quoted intentionally to create controversy. And certainly there
never.
Are
right wingers, really.
Well,
trying to be controversial, no,
really.
It's presumptuous to assume off the bat that they are intentionally being controversial. And it was just a link. And although I will say that that particular quote was taken out of context and put in the body of the text attached to the link on Act on Campus Facebook. But I think that the reaction in New Zealand media was missing what the point was, that they were at least with a generous and I don't want to say unbiased, but I think that they read into it the comparison to rape, which possibly was the intention of the original posting. I can't speak to that, but it did not necessarily have to be read into what they said.
So, Morgan, have you been castrated and bled to death lately?
Yes, in New York.
Sorry.
By my gay model lover.
Sorry, I just wanted to make sure that was...
The position was clear. It's great.
Getting back to incest.
Hey, Mark's still here.
Yeah, I went to sleep for a while.
Well, the reason I was saying earlier on is that I'd hark back to this that earlier stuff is that one of the criticisms that's been leveled against it is that it encourages what's called rape culture. Can anybody define rape culture for me?
Is that where you do a lot of raping,
or is that where you beat someone on an online game and you say you raped them?
Rape culture is the idea that there is a certain level of acceptability of sexual violence in our society, and that it's encouraged by ways that sexuality, sex, and people are portrayed in the media, and that by acting in certain ways, saying certain things, and portraying things from certain perspectives, we encourage, perhaps subconsciously or subliminally, a mindset that says that sexual violence is something to be expected and kind of, you know, just sort of swallowed in our society. And I disagree that this was something that lent itself towards rape culture, but an example might be making jokes about tears turning you on.
That wasn't a joke. That was true.
Were you crickets?
I wasn't actually joking when I said that.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that.
Cry?
Well, that'll just turn them off. And you know how I like to turn them on. Oh, no, wait. It's the other way around.
Is that all our news for the week? Any other news you wanted to cover there, Morgan?
There's not.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Oh, ladies, God. Ladies or ladies. Where's the word? Where's the word? Who am I going to ask it to? Ryan's too good. Ben's too good now as well. Mark?
I've only got it once.
All right.
I think it's Ryan's turn.
All right. Ryan?
Yes.
Your word is elevator circles.
Elevator circles is when you get into an elevator and go up to meet somebody. When you get there, you find that they've gone down to the floor that you were just on, and the whole thing continues with a hilarious debacle, and you go back and forth until eventually you end up on an entirely different floor.
That's excellent.
Thank you.
Mark,
I'm going to say circles. It's the dance that you play where you walk into an elevator and there's like four or five people, and then you get off from like level four, but you have to like go around in circles so that someone can actually get out. Then you all get back in, you yep. rotate around.
That's a better answer.
That is an excellent answer.
I'm going to say, if you're going to ask me, but I'm going to say...
Benedict that, Gracewood. Internet's Benedict Gracewood and radio.
I'm going to say this is incredibly specific. The ASB Tower in Auckland City
yep.
has the worst fucking elevators of any high-rise. It was, but must have been built by one of the... What, was it Chase, one of those cheap-ass companies yeah. in the 80s? Because
do they work?
They work, but...
Well, then they're not the worst, because ours, no. half the time, don't work.
What it is that the ding when the elevator is ready at the ground floor is... kind of a disassociated ding. It just dings from somewhere in the hall.
Yeah.
So you have no visual clue as to which elevator to move to. So you start looking around, and by the time you find the one of the six that has the up arrow...
It's closed.
It's starting to close, and you don't put your foot in there because it fucking slams on your foot. I've had it close on me. And even if it opens right in front of you, you walk in and it closes on your shoulder three or four times. So elevator circles is when yes. you're at the ASB Tower yeah. and you're in circles constantly trying to get into the right elevator.
I've got to tell you, if you hadn't said that it was specifically at the ASB Tower, then that would have been an excellent answer. According to Urban Dictionary, it's walking awkwardly around a large elevator lobby after you press the button because you don't know which elevator door to stand by.
No, I didn't get that then.
It was pretty close.
Ben wins, basically.
No, he doesn't. I didn't get it. You've got to get it. You've got to do better than that.
I was talking about when the elevator actually arrived.
Yeah.
You stand still, you dick.
This is...
You press the button for elevator and you stand still.
Just get the central spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find a sensible
central
place.
Spot, stand back.
Yeah. This was word of the day in June 17, 2009. It's had 5,300 upvotes and 1,700 downvotes.
I thought you were going to do another dirty one.
Well, I may have engaged in a little bit of misdirection. Television's internet radio, Ben Grayson.
I learned my lesson from last time. I'm not going dirty anymore.
I like to go dirty myself. I like to go dirty myself. Is it a correction? Competition giveaway.
Oh,
competition giveaway.
Well, just one correction before we go there.
Yep.
Last week you accused me of not knowing the meaning of the word literally.
Yes. I may have also then added a comment into the show notes as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that, I think that particularly got my goat.
Yeah.
I do, and I was being intentionally.
Yes, I enjoyed it.
Using literally in the wrong form, but yes. Someone who didn't intentionally use literally in the wrong form yeah. was in the CES, Microsoft CES keynote.
Yeah.
Steve Ballmer said that Xbox has literally transported hundreds of thousands of people into the Halo universe.
Wow.
So I'm amazed. They've already got to the singularity. They're uploading people's consciences or something.
I want to do that. I wouldn't like to go into the Halo universe. That seems very violent and dangerous.
Yeah.
But if I could upload my consciousness, actually, no, it's not anywhere near the time where I'd want to do that. We need better storage mechanisms and better energy supplies as well.
Yeah.
Is the culture going to come up now?
I wasn't going to bring the culture up.
I'd live in the culture.
I would. Fuck yes, would I live in the culture? God damn.
The problem I have with the culture is I don't know which of the books I've read and which I haven't.
Yeah.
I might just have to start again at
the beginning. It's the same culture in all of them.
Consider Phlebas, is it? Is the first one?
Phlebas.
Yeah.
Do they have to be read in order?
No.
They kind of don't, but there are occasional references in the later books to the Adairan War in the first ones.
Ian M. Banks, Dear Readers.
Yeah.
Highly recommended author. Both his N.M. Banks sci-fi and his N. Banks non-sci-fi. And I don't know if I brought this up on Discourse before, but if you look at the movie Shaun of the Dead,
yeah,
Hot Fuzz,
right,
where Bill Bailey plays both the daytime and nighttime guy at the front of the police station.
Oh, is there an M between his name and it?
Yeah, one of them is reading N Banks and the other one's reading N M Banks.
Ah! Oh, God. Brilliant. Yep. Love it.
Little tidbit for you there.
I hadn't spotted that. I've never read any of his non-science fiction.
Read The Wasp Factory, you idiot. Read it now.
Okay.
On ear.
All right.
Yeah, read it out.
I'll just read it out loud.
It's so good.
I will literally read it out loud.
It's his very first novel. It's amazing.
So other semi-corrections. We tried to give something away.
Semi-erections?
So, yeah, this morning I delivered you could call it a second place prize, the
yep.
wireless backup thing, to our winner who listened to the podcast, who listened to the live show or the other podcast and entered, and then listened to the second podcast and found out she was a winner,
yep.
contacted us and got her prize. Pretty straightforward, right?
That was Su Yin Koo, who won the wireless backup thing.
Yep, pretty easy.
And we also had an Android, an Idios. Who made it?
Yeah,
Huawei Idios.
Huawei Idios, yeah, Idios.
That was Sam McCosh, and he hasn't been in touch.
No.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to give it to someone else?
I'm kind of thinking, I wonder if we press play hardball. What do you think?
I'll have it.
If people aren't going to listen to the show and find out if they're a winner or not. Is it too harsh being holiday time?
No.
No?
There's never a better time to be harsh than right now.
As long as you promised to tell us your true feelings about Android and 2 degrees.
Dear. Okay.
But I think this is like a lesson, an abject lesson, an object lesson, not abject.
Sam McCosh.
An object lesson and how to work stuff up discourse.
I tell you what I'll do. If I really hate it after a month, I'll give it to you. And do we have any idea about where he is?
We'll have his email.
It'll take me ages to figure out.
What's the rules around these things?
If he calls within the next 10 minutes, he wins.
Yeah, well, that's
real time.
That's a bit impossible.
Real time.
Yeah. But I mean, we spoke about it on Twitter. We put it on the site. I mean, the fact that it had happened and that you needed to listen to the show to find out.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't be expected to hold on to it forever. This is 1 week. I say we be hard and we establish that from now on, if you don't claim the prize, we decide what happens with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that will be we keep it.
This isn't some pussy, you know, ZM, you know, you get a free retry.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what the next prize is going to be as well.
Put some retroactive terms and conditions up.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly legal. Sam, you've won. Jack and shit.
And Jack just left town.
Can you hear the sound of the aeroplane flying past outside? I'm not sure. Probably over Skype you can't.
Did you just call me a cunt? Probably over Skype, you cunt.
We'd been doing so well.
I know, so close.
I could not hear the airplane over Ryan's breathing.
It might have been my breathing, it might have been Ben's.
I might have been sighing.
We're all breathing. We might have been yawning. Do we have anything else to do? New projects?
Didn't you have something you were gonna do?
I'm completely not announcing that today. I'm not announcing until
How long have we been recording, Morgan?
Oh, should we start recording?
It never gets
I've got some things to say.
I've got a lot of stuff to be bored of. Are there any news items? Oh, the ghost bikes. Do we want to do that? Do we want to do the Kitchen Island cocktail cabinet? Do we want to do the Decade of Fear?
No.
No, none of them. Okay, what's the... any new projects?
Can I quickly plug a show that I think is amazing?
Okay, well, I'll reintroduce the Any New Projects bit.
It's not my show.
Okay, but it's in the show notes, which you are currently reading. It says, Any New Projects, anything you want to plug.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, then put it in there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess we've kind of just introduced it.
I've got a new fence. I'll plug that.
Oh, great. Mark, you got anything? Because I don't think Ryan's got anything.
Not really this week, no.
No? Ryan, what is that?
I really recommend that everybody buy the DVDs for
Shameless.
It's called The Trip. Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon in Ooh. The Trip.
Is this the one where they go up north?
Yes, and it is fan fucking tastic.
And eat at restaurants.
Yes.
So is it fiction, non-fiction?
You definitely can't watch all of that on YouTube. So don't bother trying, listeners.
I wouldn't. But if you did, and it somehow worked,
if you did,
I would recommend being so entertained that you would go and buy the DVD just to maybe get some of the extras that will probably come with it. It's extraordinarily good, you can certainly see clips of it on YouTube. I recommend.
I'll have to look it up. Sounds fantastic.
Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan competing and who can do the best James Bond impressions.
Yeah. Now, who's the other voice that they did?
There is another one that's hit the social media. What is it? They both did Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. Because I just saw a video of Michael Caine doing Michael Caine.
Oh, yes?
I mean, yours is the most impersonated voice in the business, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, everybody does. I can do it.
Can you do it?
Yeah, yeah. Hello, my name is Michael Caine.
So
I'll have to look that up, definitely.
Yes, and
I totally recommend it. This just two geniuses playing off each other, paying themselves.
Yeah, I don't know how much of what we just played in Studio One and for our Skype correspondence. We just played through a few of those. So we probably won't play much of it on the actual show.
No, well, as
but
I
we'll
said,
put it in the show notes. It's good stuff.
Cut it out. Yeah,
right out.
They do talk about a little bit about the food that they're eating, because this is a trip where they travel around eating in nice restaurants.
Yes, the idea is that Steve Coogan intended to do a trip with his American girlfriend through the north of England, visiting well-respected restaurants, and at the last minute she pulled out and went back to the States, and so he called up Rob Brydon and got him to come along instead. And so there's a constant sort of tension of him really kind of wishing his girlfriend was there instead of Rob Brydon, as well as making the phone calls in the middle of the night to his girlfriend in the States, who's far, far away from him, and hanging out with cool people that he gets really self-conscious about.
Have to go watch it.
Has the energy died yet? Have we drained enough the energy out? Let's talk about vegetarianism for a little while, shall we?
Oh, fuck you.
What? what? Fuck me what?
Fuck vegetarians.
Back with the incest, is it?
Well, I was. Have I ever been castrated and left to die in a New York hotel? So on Saturday night, I was once again a terrible vegetarian. I had vegetarian. Calamari and kingfish and scallops. And venison and lamb.
Kingfish. I have new admiration for kingfish.
Yep.
We were trying to catch fish off the wharf at Opinoni, and yep. The funniest thing happened. A little girl caught a tiny little snapper.
Yeah.
And it was so small that her dad said, no, we've got to throw it back. So yep. They unhooked it, threw it in the water.
27 centimetres.
And it was sort of just about to swim off, and a kingfish came along and went, whoop, and ate it.
Live bait.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And the little girl was just about in tears because she'd thrown the little fishy back.
Well, it probably was going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
There's
really you got to admire the kingfisher probably detected a struggling fish from, you know, meters
stop
away.
Breathing into the microphone, said, I'm gonna Ryan. I know that the listeners really like that. They probably like that more than my singing, but too bad.
Is it a poll then?
I just breathe into the back
that was,
of my hand.
That was brilliant. You haven't had an opportunity to drink as part of our drinking game yet. Actually, I can't remember what. We should do bingo boards every week.
Mm.
Now, let's do another live show. When are we going to do another live show?
I think we should do another live show 2 weeks.
2 weeks from now?
Mm.
When does that make it? Does that make it a month since the previous one? Yes, it does. Yeah, I think we could do that. Yeah, let's do another live show. It's going to be on the evening of the 1st of February. No,
on,
the 25th of January. Okay, yep. So the evening of the 25th of January, we'll have another live show. We'll put it on Twitter and we'll put it on the website, and we'll have all the cameras back up again and we'll do all of that stuff again.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that was good fun, eh? I guess that means we have to have... maybe that's when I'll give away that.
Yeah.
It's not quite as much of a giveaway, is it? Maybe I should get something else as well. Unlike you, I don't have any clever industry hookups to give me goodies to give away. I have to buy them, which is the putts way to do it. So let's get back on track, shall we?
Why do you laugh, Mark?
Because he knows that we might get back on track, but it won't be for very long. Mailbag. Do we have a mailbag?
Any feedback?
We have. Oh, we've always got good feedback, but it's always on Twitter. Let me just get up some of these. Let me see if I can get it up just quickly.
Russell,
I've got a couple.
Deep into the bottom of the barrel.
How about this one from Rochelle on Twitter? Listening to the Discourse podcast at work. Hilarious and informative.
Informative?
Yep. How about this one from Sam Sargent? If you see me waiting for a bus while grinning like an idiot, I'm probably listening to Discourse.
Isn't it banned on public transport?
Keith Patton, who we might, speaking of banning, we might need to ban Keith Patton's wife. Keith Patton on Twitter, listening to Discourse episode 10. Wife says, it's just like Beavis and Butthead for geeks.
Fuck.
It's not quite what I was hoping for.
They were very popular in their time.
How about John Ballinger? Every new Discourse podcast is the happiest day of my life. Wow, I'm really patting myself on the back here. Let's all just continue to engage in a circle jerk. I've got more.
That's mailbag. Give us more.
That's the mailbag. That's the mailbag. Johnson,
do you
more?
Have any hate tweets at all?
No, not really. Not for ages. I guess people who hate it just don't listen. And possibly don't exist because it's so fucking good. Let's be honest. Bobby Shen, listening to Discourse, love it. It's basically, I think I'm going to stop there. Sean
it's
Lee.
It's all those wonderful guests that you've got on.
Sean Lee, Discourse, New Zealand's best podcast. Absolutely. Thank you, Sean.
By the Morgan.
Not really a mailbag. Probably we should only talk about mail things when we actually have a mailbag. Well, we did get mail, but I'm not going to read it. Corrections, literally, we did that out of order. Projects, we did that. Let's do our Twitter addresses, eh? We never do that in the show. At NZBen.
Yes, and you're at The Morgan.
And at DiscourseNZ.
I do like your Twitter handle. It's not A Morgan.
No.
Or Morgan.
I am the definite Morgan. Yeah. The definite article of Morgans.
Yes,
At Talios, TALIOS.
That's me.
What do you go by, Ryan? You don't use Wataki on Twitter, do you? At Ryan Sproul.
Yeah, I use my whole freaking name.
That's dumb. RYANSPROULL. Man, low energy. Yeah. I've got to get the energy
Ben,
back up.
Thanks
why is
for
it
the
so low?
Hash FF, buddy.
Hash FF.
Did you get Follow Friday?
When did I do that?
Oh, like a couple of months back.
Oh, good.
Made me feel really warm and fuzzy.
I should do it again.
That was one of the early episodes where we were trying to get you 100 followers, wasn't it?
I'm up to 132 now. I find that my followers. I would have a lot more if I didn't keep on blocking every obvious spammer.
Yeah.
No, I block the spammers, for sure.
I do. So my 132 are all quality champions.
No
all question.
All those hot young chicks who are following you really want to talk to you.
They really do, and they keep on offering me cool like iPhone deals and stuff. So, yeah. I mean, you've got to like a guy to be into that.
Yeah.
They're definitely real
I'm taking
people.
Those. They've got no luck.
As always, there will be show notes on the site.
Lots of them.
Go to discourse.co.nz.
Yes, and if you have feedback, send us an email to comments@discourse.co.nz, or there's a form on the website, isn't
it? Go to the talkback page.
Talkback page.
Comments, questions, complaints, ideas, suggestions, all of those things. If you think that it was really cruel and inhuman of us to un-give away the phone, suck my dick. I just got a new phone. Call me on it.
Brilliant.
If you would do what, actually Mark's the only person who's ever done this, if you record an MP3.
There's so many ways you can do that. You can hit sound recorder on Windows. Yep. There must be an equivalent thing on Mac. You can do it with your iPod,
iPhone. On the Mac you can just use Photo Booth and do a video.
Yeah.
We don't want a video. Actually, the best thing that people can do, don't send us an MP3. Here is the best thing you can do. Tell a friend to listen. Just convince a friend to listen. Because, I mean, the more listeners we get, I don't know what advantage that has for you.
No, I totally want to hear the end of that sentence.
The more listeners we get, something, something, profit. Well, I mean, the more listeners we have, the more likely we are to keep doing it. The show does continue to grow, you know, slowly and organically. Mm. And I would like it to have a growth spurt at some point. That'd be great because we do put a great deal of time into putting the show together. So having an actual audience listen.
Does Discourse have a Skype account that people could follow and join the conversation?
Join the conversation? Almost fuck no. Almost fuck no. But I tell you what, during the live show, we will talk to some listeners. We will hand pick them. I know that there was one. There's one chap in Wellington who wanted to talk on the previous one, but missed out. stop breathing into the. Ryan, seriously.
It sounds like.
Jason.
I'm pretty sure it's not me, but every time you say breathe, I feel compelled to breathe.
But no, we should set up. We'll set up a Skype. Discord Skype account that you can then Skype into. Yeah.
What the hell is that?
It's someone having tantric sex outside.
It's not me. I mute my phone. I mute my microphone now.
What the hell was that?
That was
creepy.
Did you guys hear that?
Hear what?
Like a chorus of voices kind of moaning.
Chanting.
Telling you to
kill your family
or something. I didn't hear it.
This window is like 5 stories above the ground. 4 stories above the ground down there.
It's all the listeners trying to get in.
Creepy.
Yes.
They want the Android phone.
Well, they can't have it. They can fight me for it. And I can fight.
I'd have to drop it off to you tomorrow.
Oh, there's no rush. I've basically stolen it off one of our listeners. So, I mean, the longer you make me wait, I still won't have earned it. Actually, it's probably unethical, isn't it? Fuck ethics. I've got a new phone. Hey, listeners, thank you once again for listening.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Mark Tellios. Yep.
Thank you, Mark. And thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Ryan, turn your microphone back on.
Are you thanking me now?
Yeah, thank you for being on the show and
breathing and humming.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for the breathing and the humming. That's why I've got my microphone off.
Yeah, but you've got to remember to turn it back on when we talk to you. And this was meant to be just you saying, "It was great to be here."
It was great to be here,
listeners. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
You're listening to the weekly show with course.
All right, we're using that one.